Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 7th Chapter, text number 31. Gokulam sma Nandam cha mokshati bhaya Varunasya pasha Gopan vileshu vihitan maya sonu nacha Agnya pratam nishishaya namati shramena Lokam vikuntham paneshati gokulam sma Nandam cha mokshati bhayad varunasya pasha Gopan vileshu pihitan maya sonu nacha Agnya pratam nishishaya namati shramena Lokam vikuntham upaneshyati gokulam sma also mokshyati saves bhayat from the fear of varunasya avaruna the demigod of water pashat from the clutches of gopan the covered men bileshu in the caves of the mountain pihitan placed maya sunana by the son of maya cha also agni apratham agni apratham being very engaged during the daytime nishi at night shayanam lying down atishramena because of hard labor lokam planet vikuntham the spiritual sky upaneshyati he awarded gokulam the highest planet sma suddenly translation and purpose by his divine grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada ki Lord Krishna saved his foster father Nanda Maharaj from the fear of the demigod Varuna and released the covered boys from the caves of the mountain for they were placed there by the son of Maya also to the inhabitants of Vrindavana who were busy very busy working during daytime and sleeping soundly at night because of their hard labor in the day Lord Krishna awarded promotion to the highest planet in the spiritual sky all these acts are transcendental and certainly prove without any doubt his godhood purport Nanda Maharaj the foster father of Lord Krishna went to take his bath in the river Yamuna in the dead of the night mistakenly thinking that the night was already over thus the demigod Varuna took him to the Varuna planet Lord Krishna And due to the day's hard labor, they were engaged in sound sleep at night. So practically, they had very little time to devote to meditation or to other paraphernalia of spiritual activities. But factually, they were engaged in the highest spiritual activities only. Everything done by them was spiritualized because everything was dovetailed in the relationship with Lord Sri Krishna. The central point of activities was Krishna, and as such, the so-called activities in the material world were saturated with spiritual potency. That is the advantage of the way of Bhakti Yoga. One should discharge one's duty on Lord Krishna's behalf, and all one's actions should be saturated with Krishna thought, the highest pattern of trance in spiritual realization. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुः मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam scheduled incarnations. In this verse 31, the verse talks about Varuna Dev carrying Krishna's father Nanda Baba to his planet. But Prabhupada just writes probably only one sentence, one or two sentences about it. and further focuses on another theme in the purport. In Srimad Bhagavatam we find something very unique which we don't find in other Puranas. You will not hear in Skanda Purana or Purana talking about Lord Ganesh or Lord Skanda or Lord Shiva or such personalities doing these kind of activities what Krishna is doing. Like you are finding Krishna going to Samyamani and bringing the son of his spiritual master Sandipani Muni, isn't it? He goes to Yamalok and he is bringing the son of his guru back. And you find Krishna going and meeting Mahavishnu and bringing the sons of the Brahmana. And Krishna also brings back to life Devaki's six children who were killed by Kamsa. Krishna brings them back also. Similarly, here we find Krishna going to the Varuna Loka. There is an article in Dr. Godhead how when Nanda Baba goes to take a bath very early, too early, something like 2 o'clock or so, 1:30 or something like that. When he goes to the river to take a bath, so he feels his leg is being pulled from below. Just like you find once Arjuna is taking bath and Ulupi comes and pulls him below. There is a pastime of Arjuna marrying Ulupi before. Same manner, where did Varunadev take Nanda Baba from the underwater? So, there are many devatas who exist in different dimensions. In the same manner, for taking bath also, Shastra has prescribed many rules. One should not take bath immediately after eating food. Similarly, one should not take bath at 12 o'clock at night or 1 o'clock, like that, in the middle of the night. So, because Nanda Baba entered into the holy rivers, from a material point of view, it was an apparent mistake for which he was pulled. That explanation is given elsewhere. On the other hand, from a spiritual point of view, Nanda Baba doesn't deserve to be punished by anyone. He is father of Krishna. But why did Varuna take Nanda Baba and go away? Because he knew that if I take Nanda and take him to my abode, Krishna will surely come there. And then I can get his darshan. That's what Mahavishnu also did with the Brahmana sons. His idea was to see that Krishna comes. Because nobody can go to Mahavishnu to fetch the children back other than Krishna. So, in this way, for getting Krishna's darshan, he did that. And he is also talking about the coward boys who were hidden by Vyomasura inside the cave. Krishna, that is another pastime. How Krishna got them all back, because this Vyomasura had put him inside the cave and plugged the hole of the cave. And then Krishna came to understand where this fellow is taking all the covered boys one by one. Then Krishna went there and took out the stone from the cave and released all the covered boys. So, in this way, Krishna performs many pastimes. In the purport mainly, Prabhupada is highlighting on one very two important themes. He is saying that the Vrajabasis were sleeping soundly at night after doing the all day hard labor of work. It appears like as if the materialistic people who work very hard during the day and they go to sleep at night. It may appear like that. That is explained in the 10th canto elsewhere in Brahma's prayers. The Vrajabasis were doing normal activities, like the daily activities which anybody would do. But the highlight given here is how they were always doing whatever they did for Krishna. And in those activities, they always kept their mind absorbed in Krishna. So, because of which, at the appropriate time, Krishna took them all to Gokulam. Gokulam is the Goloka Vrindavan. Back. That's one thing Prabhupada highlights. And another thing he says, is in the presence of Krishna, one's miseries are at once dispelled. In the presence of Krishna. That is another thing he says here. They had no fear of the miseries of material existence. It is confirmed that to be in the association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead by full surrender in transcendental love frees one from the miseries inflicted by the laws of material nature. So, before one becomes liberated, one in this material world is afflicted by shoka, moha and bhaya. Lamentation, illusion and fear. These three qualities are famous characteristics of a conditioned soul. Lamentation about the past. So, Krishna condemns lamenting about lamenting to Arjuna. Don't lament. Because lamentation is a symptom of a conditioned soul. In the material world, the living being always looks back about the past happenings in his life and he laments. Alas, how my life, how this went wrong, that went wrong. They look back. And they look ahead and again they fear. Why? Because what is going to happen? What will the future carry for me? They have fear also about the future also. In this way, at the moment also, the living being is absorbed in illusion. So, these three things are said in Bhagavatam. So, these miseries of the material world, how they can be overcome? They can be overcome, Prabhupada says here, in the presence of Krishna. Just like Prahlad said, Tvadvirya Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chittaha. By talking about your pastimes, by remembering you, we can forget all the worries. Or Kunti Maharani also said, Bhavato Darshanam Yatsyat Apunar Bhava Darshanam. She said, Krishna, seeing you means one does not experience the pangs of the cycle of birth and death at all, completely. How is it that in the presence of remembrance of Krishna or presence of Krishna eradicates the pain? One good thing about the mind is it can only think of one thing at a time. But if there are, mind can only hold. One place Prabhupada says this, mind can only hold one major thought at a time. That is why we find when we are chanting, when the mind wanders, we think about those thoughts more than our chanting, because we cannot do two things. Either we think of that or we think of this. You cannot do two things. So, if one is able to absorb one's mind in remembrance of Krishna's name, form, pastime, qualities, activities, then one forgets the material coil, the material body. One forgets the material situations. One forgets the sufferings that are pinching us. To give a more simpler example, say for example, you faced a failure in something. But then you also got success in another thing. You will often find that success acts like a painkiller. Isn't it? Whenever you think of the failure, and then you think of the success, then the success actually substitutes for the pain. At least you can think of that and then you can pacify yourself. and you can go on. The thought of the success. In the same manner, when one identifies with the body, then the fear is too much. The fear is terrible. In fact, people who do not know about the soul and the soul's relationship with Krishna, they are the most miserable people. Because they always call it a dead end, they say. Dead end means they think death is the end of everything. They don't know anything. But one knows about the soul, one knows about the ultimate destination, gati of the soul. Then situation is different. So we will take both these points. With an example we can explain more about this. Before we become liberated souls, what should be our consciousness in order for us to rise above all these sufferings? That is explained very beautifully in the section of Akrura entering Vrindavan. There are two verses. One verse talks about hopelessness in this material world. How there is no hope for a fallen person in this world. And then Akrura, surprisingly, the next verse he says that he is very hopeful. That's a hope-giving verse also. Hope against hope. See here, Akrura is saying in one of the first verses, Kim maya charitam badram, kim taptam paramam tapah, kim vata pyarhate dattam, yadrakshyamya adyakeshavam. Kim maya charitam means, charitam means, kim maya acharitam. What great pious activities have I performed? Bhadram. Bhadram means pious activities. Kim maya acharitam bhadram. Kim taptam paramam tapaha. Taptam means suffered. Kim taptam paramam tapaha. What severe austerities have I performed? He's asking. Kim maya acharitam bhadram. Kim taptam paramam tapaha. Kim vatapi arhate dattam. Dattam means charity. Kim vatha. Kim va atha api arhate dattam. What worship performed or charity given by me? Dadrakshyami adhya keshava. So that today I will be able to see Lord Krishna or Keshava. So this was the thought flow of Akrura. What pious activities have I done? What great austerities have I done? And what big charity have I given to anyone that I deserve to get the darshan of Lord Krishna today? And then he is saying further, one more verse he says, Mamaita durlabham manya uttama shloka darshanam vishayatmano yata brahma kirtanam Shudrajan Manaha. Since I am a materialistic person, absorbed simply in sense gratification, I think it is as difficult for me to have gotten this opportunity to see Lord Uttama Shloka as it would be for one born in a Shudra family to be allowed to recite, for one who is a born Shudra to be allowed to recite the Vedic mantras. He's saying, Amayeta Durlabham. Durlabham is very rare to achieve. Manye. I consider this opportunity to go from Mathura to Vrindavan to see Krishna to be a very, very rare opportunity. Mamayeta Durlabham Manya. What is that Durlabham? Uttama Shloka Darshanam. I can get darshan of Uttama Shloka Krishna, who is always glorified by choice poetry by many, many great devotees. Vishayatmano Yata. Ushiyatmano yata brahma. Ushiyatmano means for one who is absorbed in sense gratification, yata brahma, which means a shudra. Yata brahma kirtanam shudra janmanaha. I am such a materialistic person absorbed in sense gratification, but still today I am getting an opportunity to get darshan of Krishna. How fortunate I am. Without qualification I am being allowed darshan. He says. Just like that milk drinking brahmachari wanted to have darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing. Or Shiva's Thakur's mother-in-law, she was hiding somewhere and she also wanted to have darshan of Mahaprabhu dancing. Sometimes a person is unqualified, but somehow or other he sneaks in. Sometimes there is a private attendee program where people are called only on a selective basis. So one devotee was selling in Bombay. Along with the sound system, 8 devotees go, saying that we are taking care of sound system and they want to attend the private program, you know. So in the name of sound system, they will be sitting near the sound system and attending the program nicely. So sometimes one is unqualified, but still he says that I am going to get darshan of Lord Krishna. And what is it compared to? He says a Shudra being allowed to recite the Vedic mantras. It's like that. So these two are hopelessness voices. Why like this? Kim maya acharyadam badram, kim tapam paramam tapah. You know, there is a story, Isvalana Satyadas Maharaj explains in one of his books. Once when Rupa Goswami was walking in the street when he was a minister of Bengal, there was a husband and wife talking to each other in a home. It was a rainy day. Nobody was in the street. When he was passing by, the husband was asking, we are hearing the sound of foot of someone walking. Who is the person walking on this rainy day? In such a heavy rainy day, who is going to walk on the road? So she replied, maybe some dog of the king, she said. So this Rupa Goswami heard it. Only a dog of the king can walk on a rainy day. What did she mean was that the king's servants are supposed to be so loyal. If they are not loyal, they will be beheaded. So those guys have sold out their head to the king. Because they, just for the sake of money, they have sold out their head to the king. And they have to obey the king no matter how difficult the climate be. Otherwise nobody else will go outside. That was the meaning. When Rupa Goswami heard it, it created a tremendous detachment in his heart. That was the time when he decided to leave everything and go to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You see, sometimes every one of us may have experience, some powerful experience. For me, when that detachment arose in my mind, I took to Krishna consciousness in IIT, I came to Pune, I was doing job, and I was very complacent. In the daytime wearing pant and shirt, morning and evening wearing dhoti kurta and going for preaching. And Gauranga Prabhu came to Pune, we were saying, come on, let's both go and preach. Practically 7/7, all 7 days we used to go for preaching outside. And I didn't join the temple, although I was doing a job. One day, when Krishnanand Prabhu came, in the morning time, I started cooking, he started sitting and, talking Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I said, Prabhuji, I'm cooking. I said, he said, no problem, you keep cooking and hearing also. So he went on speaking, then I offered the bhog, then I ate the prasad. Whichever room I went, he came along with me, reading CC for me. It became 8:20, that is the time I leave for the company. Then I wore my pants, shirt, everything. And I said, Prabhuji, now I have to take leave. He said, where are you going? Sit down. I said, He said, Chaitanya Charitamrita is going, it's an offense to leave in between. So I said, but Prabhuji, I have to go to company, my boss will be angry. Who is your boss? Krishna is your boss. He is the boss on a boss. Boss of all bosses. Don't worry, just here. Then it became 8:20, became 8:30, 8:35, 8:40. And I am supposed to reach company at 8:40. Here itself it was 8:40. And I became quite restless. Then I showed some body language, took my bag, took everything. So Prabhuji, I think now I have to leave. He said, one very strong sentence he said, which really was ringing in my ears all day. He said, what is this? You're supposed to be, you said you wanted to join the ashram. You are just delaying on and on. You are just wearing this mlecha dress, serving this, useless, materialist. Vifale save, Kripana Durajana chapala sukalaba lage. So he told that. He said, you are wearing this nice dress, pant and shirt. Not wearing dhoti kurta, going to company and saluting such useless materialistic people who are simply sense gratifiers. How long are you going to go on like this? He said. I said, very soon I am joining Prabhuji. I said. Then I left for the company. But this was ringing in the ears. The company also. Lecha, lecha, lecha. You know? So, actually, of course, we both were planning to join together, me and Gaurang Prabhu. And for Gaurang Prabhu, what happened? When he was, Krishnan was talking this, at the time Gaurang Prabhu was not here. He had gone to Bombay. And there he had a car accident along with Devamrit Prabhu. Devamrit Prabhu was driving. Gaurang Prabhu was in the side sitting. And they're driving. Direct head-on collision. Solid accident. By Krishna's mercy, both were saved. Almost were unconscious in the car. They didn't even know. They were picked up and taken to hospital, admitted in the hospital. Almost for a week or so. And after a week, all stitches, they were a bit normal. So I called Gaurang Prabhu to inquire about his health. How is your health? And then and subsequently asked him, when are you coming back? He said, coming. No coming back. Yadgatvar nivartante. Yadgatvar nivartante. Now, no more coming back to Pune. He said, this accident, I think, is an indication of Krishna that I should renounce everything and take the shelter of Radha Gopinath. He said, if you want, you stay longer. I am not going to stay. Today I am joining, he said. And next week I also join. After that. So, you will find Krishna sometimes gives such kind of indications in lives of devotees. And Rupa Goswami heard this. It sharply penetrated his heart. It entered. He became detached by hearing that. Immediately decided to leave everything and join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you will also find Rupa Goswami also telling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about how Rupa and Sanatan, both of them, they declare their disqualifications. How they are very fallen. They say, we are more fallen than Jagai and Madai also. Why? Because Jagai and Madai did not serve cow flesh eaters, but we served. So we are more fallen. By serving the fallen, we become fallen. Like that they declared. By serving the greatest, you become great. So whom we serve is very important. So Rupa and Sanatan, they declared to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagai and Madai, they never committed offenses to any Vaishnavas, although they were performing many sinful activities. Nor did they serve any meat eaters or cow flesh eaters. In this way, he spoke, Rupa and Sanatan, they spoke about their fallen condition. And speaking about one's fallen position, like that, like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami spoke, or like Akrura is speaking here, this attracts Krishna's mercy very powerfully. And refusing to admit one's fallen position and considering oneself materially very satisfied and qualified, that defeats Krishna's mercy. That repels Krishna's mercy. Yeah. That is why we find here Akrura in these two verses, which is actually, he's not telling anyone. He's just thinking in his mind, Kim maya acharitam bhadram, kim taptam paramam tapah, kim vatapi arhate dattam, yad drakshyami adya keshavam. Drakshyami means, I'm going to see Keshava today, but what is my qualification? So this immediately brings forth gratitude, which means when I am not qualified but still I am awarded something, then it brings gratitude. Like if I consider myself qualified and then somebody gives it to me, then what I feel? I said, so what? I am anyway qualified. I feel like that. Say for example, you go to some place, you go to some temple, somebody calls you, Prabhu, come here. And suddenly they bring some Mahaprasad outside and they give you a big cup of rabdi. You don't know them, who they are. They don't know you, you don't know them, you are a commoner. You are just going to the temple to take darshan. But somebody is calling and giving. So how do you feel? Oh, this fellow doesn't even know me, who I am. And I am not qualified to receive such a big cup of rabdi. It is giving. So you feel very grateful, isn't it? Or if you are, Or if you are a big, very senior brahmachari, you go to a temple and they tell you to give a class, you give a class. After that, when you sit for the breakfast, they may bring a big cup of rabadi. And you may say, yeah, they are supposed to serve me. Because I am a senior devotee, I am giving class. One may think like that. Then their gratitude is not there. Because as soon as we consider ourselves competent and qualified, potent, powerful, and we think that, you know, I deserve it, finished. There is no gratitude there. Actually, more than speaking our disqualifications, feeling our disqualification is more important. Sometimes, people apparently they look humble by speaking humbly, but they do it as a ritual because it is supposed to be done. So you may say it, Prabhuji, I am a fallen soul, Prabhuji. Really? Are you fallen? How are you fallen? Tell me. You can ask. Sorry, Prabhuji, I thought you'll never ask me such a question. You say, you know, Sri Guru Karuna Sindhu, Adama Janara Bandhu. You are Adama Jan? How are you Adama Jan? Tell me. Every one of us, we should be able to write an essay on how I am Adama Jan. If you cannot write a 5-page essay, we are not humble. Yeah. We should be able to say how we are fallen souls. Adama Jan. Simply saying with the lips is not enough. We should be able to feel it, experience it. Otherwise, it would be simply pretension. Otherwise. So, Rupa Sanatan declared it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They surely must have felt it. Otherwise, why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciate the humility of Sanatan? He told Sanatan, oh Sanatan, your humility is breaking my heart. He said that. Because Mahaprabhu is in the heart of everyone, a super soul. He can detect if somebody is doing lip service of speaking something like humility, which looks like humility, artificial humility, and then inside not feeling that, Mahaprabhu can immediately detect it. He knows the heart of everyone. So he, Mahaprabhu, saw that inside and outside there was humility. And in the case of Akurvara, externally he didn't speak a word, but in his mind the thought flow is going like this. Kimmaya acharitam padram. Similarly he says, Mama etat durlabham manya. I consider all these things to be very, very rare. Uttama shloka darshanam. I am going to get darshan of Krishna and Balram today. My Lord, such a rare fortune has come upon me. Vishayatmano yatha brahma. Kirtanam shudra janmaha. Brahma kirtanam shudra janmaha. Somebody is a shudra janma, but he is doing brahma kirtan. He is doing the glorification of the Vedas. Although I am a sense gratifier, I am given this opportunity. So, these things, these verses show us the right mood of a devotee in approaching the Supreme Lord. Just like Kuntimanane is saying, Katam Pashye Mahistriyaha Tata Paramahamsanam Muninam Amalatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vidhanartham Katam Pashye Mahistriyaha. One interesting observation you will make, she is telling, my dear Lord, you are only a subject matter of the Paramahamsas and Mukta Purushas and all. Who, like me, a woman like me, how can a woman like me can see you? Katam Pashye Mahastriyaha. I am an ordinary woman, how can I see you? She is saying. But then Prabhupada is saying, before this verse you will find, Halaksham Sarva Bhutana Antar Bahir Avastitam. Although, my dear Lord, you are in the heart of everyone, you are within as Paramatma and without as Virat Purusha, still all living beings cannot see you, she is saying. Which goes to show that she is seeing. Otherwise, how can she say? How can she comment about other living beings? Because she is seeing. But then, in the subsequent verse, she is saying, Katam Pashyame Histriya, how can I see you? So this she is speaking out of ecstasy, not out of ignorance, not out of truly having inability to see. She is actually seeing Krishna. She doesn't see Krishna as a nephew. She doesn't see Krishna like that, as one of the relatives. She's seeing Krishna as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. The very first verse she said, Namasye Purusham Tvadhyam Ishwaram Prakrite Param. But still, out of humility she is saying, I still cannot see you. Why? Something tells her within her heart that she is unqualified. She is not fit to receive that mercy which Krishna is giving her. Like Krishna heard all her prayers sitting in the chariot when Kunti Maharani prayed. At the end, he smiled and accepted all those prayers. So even that she considered as a great blessing. Why should he hear? You know, what is his position? Even from a material point of view, Krishna's position is very great. He is the advisor to the Pandavas. And is so respectable. And spiritually speaking, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And why should he hear me? I am a simple woman. Like that she felt. So, these kind of examples in the scriptures, they give us a clue how we, in our conditioned stage, should learn to offer prayers to attract the mercy of Krishna. When we talk of remembrance of Krishna, sometimes people, they become like sahajiyas in remembering Krishna. Sahajya means what? They say suddenly, you know, I got a dream, you know, Krishna came and told me this, Krishna came and told me that. Some people speak like this. Like, you know, Prabhupada used to love one particular deity. You know this Lord Mukunda sitting with a cow? That picture Prabhupada used to like very much. Picture of, it's called Lord Mukunda. You know, he's having some birds in the hand, you know. He's having a birds in the hand. There's a cow sitting by the side. And he's putting his leg like this, sitting very casually, sitting. Beautiful picture. So Prabhupada used to like that. So one Maharaj, I don't want to mention the name. So he knew that Prabhupada liked it. So he told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, yesterday night I got a dream. That picture of Mukunda, you know. Some light started coming out. Other Krishna. I closely watched. Suddenly I saw, you know, Krishna started moving. He started smiling at me and started talking to me. He told me this, I told me that. And Prabhupada immediately told him, don't go by the visions. Visions means, some people think that they are getting a vision of this, vision of that. Prabhupada said, just do service. And try to please Krishna. Don't go by these visions. Because they may or may not be true. Many times. More important than that is doing service and surrender to Krishna. Don't become sahajiyaik. So often, people try to make artificial attempts to remember Krishna. Because they have heard Krishna's instruction, man mana, think of me. Bhava mad bhakto, become my devotee. How then do we remember Krishna? Maybe we can keep a picture of a deity. We can keep our most favorite picture and keep watching it, keep trying to remember it. It's not wrong. One may do that. But in the course of doing that, one shouldn't imagine that I have personally struck a relationship with Krishna and directly I have become very advanced. One should never think like that. That is actually a symptom of fall down, to imagine oneself like that. So, one has to go step by step. This is one of the steps, one of the preliminary steps. When a devotee feels this kind of disqualification, then Krishna becomes willing to open the doors to Gokulam or Goloka, as it is said here. And then he will give further advancement he will give. So now the same, Akrura, how he gets hope, you see. The next verse he says, Mamaivam mamada, mamaivam mamada masyapi, syat eva chuta darshanam, yamana kalanadya, kvachittarati kashchana. Has a very famous verse. You can repeat after me. Maivam mamadhamasyapi, syat eva chuta darshanam, hriyamana kalanadya, kvachittarati kashchana. But enough of such thoughts. After all, even a fallen soul like me can have the chance to behold the infallible Supreme Lord. For one of the conditioned souls being swept along in the river of time may sometimes reach the shore. See, he is saying, ma evam. Ma means don't. In Sanskrit, sometimes we are talking the chinta mastu. We say, no? Don't worry. So here he is saying, ma evam. Hey, don't think like that, he is saying. Mama, for me, adamasya means who is most fallen. Maivam mama adamasyapi. Api means even. Although I may say that I am very very fallen, still syat eva achyuta darshanam. Okay, I may be very fallen, but if more and more I focus on my fallen nature, I become more worried, I become more tense, I become more fearful about my disqualifications, and that is very discouraging to me. But he says, but why should I worry about that? Somehow or other I got achyuta darshanam, I am going to get. He is saying. And then he says, Hriyamana means being pulled along. Kala Nadya. Nadya means Nadi. Hriyamana Kala Nadya. Being pulled by the current of the river of Kala. Kvachit Tarati Kashchana. Kvachit means sometimes. Tarati. Someone may cross to the shore. Tarati Kashchana. So, sometimes a person is drowning. Like we had this experience in Jagannath Puri. You see, in Jagannath Puri, the ocean is very powerful. Anybody goes to Jagannath Puri, they have to be careful. So we were standing in the shore, but then we thought we will just play with the waters for some time near up to the knee. So we went near. Then the water was coming, and then while the water returns back, it will take the sand below your feet. So we were just standing. So suddenly, we found a big current of wave came. It came from both sides, and then as if somebody is catching your leg and pulling you into the water. I felt both the legs are pulled as if somebody is pulling in. I completely flatly fell on the ground. Then the wave dragged me inside. I went inside. And I went inside so much, I thought I will not be able to come back. Because the waves are pushing more and more. And I couldn't even shout also. If I shout also, nobody could hear because water was in the mouth and head and everything. And it just turned me upside down, and the sand was going into the eyes and head and face and everything. I could realize that now I am inside the water, and I don't know swimming also. How we are going to come out? So, thinking, another wave came, big wave. Came one, big beating, pat on the back. And it rolled me multiple times and threw me in the shore. Very mercifully, along with the beating. So, sometimes we experience like this. Now, how it happened? I think Krishna wanted me to survive, so he pushed me back to the shore, Because the situation appeared almost impossible. We were thinking that we will not go deep inside, but still the waves pulled and took inside. So, if a man is in such an ocean or in a river, where he feels that now I am gone now, I am going to die, that time one big wave may come and push the person and carry him to the shore. And how does it happen? By Kala Nadya, by the will of providence of the Supreme Lord, it may happen that somebody may be saved. Similarly, he says, me also, I am an unqualified fool. I don't know how I am sitting in this new chariot given by Kamsa, and I am being sent to Vrindavan from Mathura. I don't know how. There are hundreds and thousands of people whom Kamsa could have sent, but he has sent me. I don't know how he chose me. But it is the Kala Nadi that is offering me this opportunity to go and have Achyuta Darshanam. How wonderful it is. How fortunate I am. Like that he is appreciating. Kriyamana Kala Nadya Kvachicharati Kashchana. Sometimes somebody by fluke gets an opportunity. Yeah, sometimes, like for example, somebody may be a very simple devotee, not even chanting 16 rounds, maybe chanting 1 or 2 rounds. Suddenly, you will be standing outside, Maharaj may come and say, hey, come here. Can you please get me this from the market? You may say, he goes to the market, he gets some towel. Maharaj, please have this. And then Maharaj may give him blessings and please take this prasad and go. Now he goes and tells one very big senior devotee, Prabhuji, Maharaj called me, he told me to buy this and he gave me this prasad. How did you get Maharaj? Why did you go there? That room side. Prabhuji, I was just wandering outside the room. He called me. On his own, he called me. So the senior devotee may wonder, hey, I didn't get this mercy. This fellow is a newcomer. He's just standing 2 rounds. So that's the meaning of this. Kriyamana Kala Nadya Kvachicharati Kashchana. Sometimes it's not fluke in the real sense, because ultimately Krishna is watching everything. If he wants to give mercy to someone through some great Vaishnava, he may do so. He may do that. So he is saying the purpose is good luck means what? There has to be a order of good luck. Otherwise, how can I get good luck? Good luck also doesn't come by chance. There is a order. So Krishna awards good luck to some devotee through some very advanced devotees. In the same manner, here he is saying, I don't have to unnecessarily lament like this. Enough of such thoughts, he is saying. Even a fallen soul like me now has got the chance to behold the Supreme Lord with my eyes. So somehow or other, I don't know how, but this opportunity has come. Like, you know, Yadrichaya Matkatado Jata Shaddhasthya Puman Nanirvindo Natisakto Bhakti Yogosya Siddhidha Bhagavatam 11th canto he said also. Yadrichaya means somehow or other a person went to the temple, you know, to take darshan of Radha Kunjabihari. While taking darshan, he heard a sweet kirtan. And he sat down there only, clapping hands. And then he heard a lecture. And there was a lightning point in the lecture. He woke up. And then he went and met the Vaishnava, who gave him mala. He began chanting. And then he became a first-class devotee. It happens like that. Yadrichaya, then how did that fellow come to the temple? Yadrichaya, it is said. Somehow or other. Actually, that Yadrichaya, if you want to know the meaning of Yadrichaya, there will be one full class it will take to explain. What is that Yadrichaya? Actually, Yadrichaya actually means causeless mercy. By causeless mercy, only one gets such opportunities. So, he is encouraging himself. And then he is saying, Mama adya amangalam nashtam falavancha eva meyat falavancha eva me bhavaha yannamasi bhagavato yogi dhyayangri pankajam. Today all my sinful reactions have been eradicated and my birth has become worthwhile. Since I will offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, which mystic yogis meditate upon. In this way, you can imagine how much he is valuing the lotus feet of Krishna. He is saying, I'll offer my obeisances to Krishna, and Krishna will lift me up and embrace me, and by his embrace, all my sinful reactions will be finished completely. In this way, great, great yogis are hankering to get a small dust particle of saffron, particles of Krishna's lotus feet. And I am getting such darshan of Krishna so easily. So these two are hopeful verses, hope-giving verse for Akrura. So you will also find in Bhishma Pitama speaking, he is saying, because I am unflinching servitor, the Supreme Lord Krishna has come and appeared in front of me, out of his love for me, he says. So although a pure devotee is extremely humble, he also has self-esteem, which actually means he is confident of the Lord's mercy. That is not certainly pride, but that is confidence in the Supreme Lord. Not self-confidence, but confidence in the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord's greatness, Supreme Lord's kindness, the Supreme Lord's mercifulness, compassion, that he is so kind. That although I am unqualified, because I called him, he has taken my prayer seriously and he is appearing in front of me, he says. Like that, Akrura also is praying. So, if one can offer this kind of prayers, such a heart that is full of gratitude will never consider suffering as suffering. That's why a devotee doesn't suffer. Like for example, when happiness comes, a devotee wonders, hey Krishna, how did you give me this success? I don't deserve it. I am a useless rascal, but how did you give me this success? Maybe I think you want to give a pat on the back and encourage me. Thank you for your encouragement. And when suffering comes, what a devotee thinks? A devotee thinks, Krishna, I deserve this and much more. Because I have always been a trouble creator. Actually, you should give me this suffering and you should give me even more suffering. A devotee very happily accepts. Or a devotee thinks, you only have given me a token punishment. Because you know that if you give me too much suffering, I'll run away from you. So in order to keep me at your lotus feet, you are giving me only token suffering. Like that devotee feels. So in the remembrance of Krishna, it's very easy to accept any amount of suffering. It's possible. That's why he says in this first point that they had no fear of miseries of material existence. Narada Muni was asking Lord Krishna, my dear Lord, what kind of jadugar are you? You know, jadugar? magician. What kind of magician are you that the Pandavas, you know, they have been stripped off of their kingdom, they have been driven to the forest, their wife was insulted publicly, and they have lost all their opulences, and they had to endure so many sufferings, a series of sufferings, so one after another. They were poisoned by Bhima, they were put in a house of lac and burnt alive in the Varnavat. In this way you have been giving Pandava suffering after suffering after suffering, but I am observing that their love for you has not decreased even a bit. On the contrary, their love for you is increasing more and more. So what kind of magician are you? What magic you have put on them that again and again they keep continuing to love you and they are always after you? He asked. That is because the Pandavas always won the heart of Krishna, and when Krishna was with them, they didn't feel any suffering. They didn't feel suffering at all, because Krishna was there too. Anytime they had a suffering, they could call out to Krishna, just like you find in the Akshaya Patra pastime. How Draupadi immediately came up with the idea, we will just call Krishna, and it was solved immediately. And later, second part of the purport, Prabhupada focuses on the Vijabhasis directly. The Vijabhasis, they did lot of activity, they did lot of work, but they were all for Krishna's pleasure. Now, Vijabhasis were in the platform of spontaneous love. Before we talk about Vijabhasis, we can talk an alternative example which is more relevant to our life. You see, I heard Ambarish Maharaj, he enjoyed material life keeping Krishna in the center. Like that it is said. How can somebody enjoy material life keeping Krishna in the center? That is because he connected the political life, social life, religious life, economic life and spiritual life. All these things to Krishna. Completely connected. How? Political life means he always took the advice of Brahmanas before he did anything. He didn't do anything whimsically, independently. And he never used his subordinates for some selfish exploitation, but he always saw them as Krishna's children and himself as Krishna's representative. He saw like that. So in this way, politically, he was not abusing or misusing his position as a king. Then socially, he made sure that all the praja, all the citizens are engaged in varnashrama. In the respective varna and ashrama, they are given engagements all day. So people are happily situated. And he created all the facilities for the praja to worship God as well as to do their duties. And he also, social duty means protecting children, old men, cows, brahmanas and women. He arranged for all these things perfectly. Social duties. Religious duties means he performed yajna regularly in glorification of Lord Vishnu. Regular yajnas where all people would come and participate. He did his religious duties and he gave charity to brahmanas, cows and gold and silver, all these things. He also performed penances for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. He did also. So he performed his religious duties, and as far as the economic responsibilities of the state is concerned, he didn't waste a single penny of the public. Whatever money he collected from the public, he gave it all back to the welfare of the public. And whatever wealth came, he made sure that it is spent according to the laws of God in the scriptures. I like that very appropriately he spent the money. And he didn't break any of the regulative principles which are considered sinful. He didn't break. So in this way, although he was wealthy, his treasury was very huge. He didn't misuse a single farthing, single penny also from that. And his spiritual duty means his duty towards Krishna, the eternal spiritual life, that also he performed very perfectly. You know, Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayo, Karau Harer Mandira Marjanathishu, Vacham Zvaikunta Gunanu Varnane, all those things are said. With his eyes he took darshan of the deity every day. With the hand he cleansed the temple. With his mouth he was speaking glories of Krishna. With his ears he was hearing the glories. With his leg he was walking to temple. So whole body he was engaged. Rishikena, Rishikesha Sevanam, that he did also. So by doing these five things, Ambarish Maharaj, it is said, he gave up the desire to gratify his senses separate from Krishna. That he could do. That is why the Shastras say, merely giving up the things of this world is not enough, or it is not necessary. What is required? You have to give up the desire to enjoy the things of the world for one's own sense gratification, independent of Krishna. That should be given up. And that he did perfectly. Because he did that, he immediately Krishna entered his heart, and he could experience Krishna consciousness. Ambarish Maharaj, I heard that his citizens were so exalted, there was not a single citizen who aimed at heavenly planets. All of his citizens aimed at spiritual world only. That was the class of citizens he had, Ambarish. So this is a example of an ideal king who, while performing his duties, he never discarded his duties, saying that now I am a devotee, so I will not do my duties. So he did his duties also perfectly. Now this is about Ambarish, who was a great devotee of Krishna. But Vrijabasis, they are spontaneous devotees of Krishna. Spontaneous means they don't see Krishna as the Lord in the temple, the deity form, that you have to worship him, bow down to him, and all that. They treat Krishna very intimately, Vrijabasis. So their mind was completely absorbed in remembrance of Krishna. You see, when Krishna left Vrindavan and went away with Akrura, the Vrijabasis, why they did not leave Vrindavan? I spoke about it many months ago. Five reasons why the Vrijabasis didn't leave Vraj and go to search after Krishna in Mathura or Dwaraka. Because in Dwaraka, Krishna was there for 13 years and 6 months. After that, he went to Dwaraka and he became king of Dwaraka later on. So why Vrijabasis didn't go to Mathura or Dwaraka? There are 5 reasons given. But by hearing these 5 reasons, you will see what kind of love Vrijabasis had for Krishna. You will understand it by hearing these 5 reasons. The first reason is given that Vrijabasis felt that the kind of sweetness of relationships that Krishna has in Vrindavan, that kind of madhurya, madhura ras, that cannot be expected in Mathura or in Dwaraka, because Mathura and Dwaraka are Aishwarya Dham. You cannot expect. In Vrindavan, you find Krishna sometimes bowing down to Mother Yashoda and taking the dust off her feet and applying on his head or his body also. He has so much love and respect for Mother Yashoda, and he carries the sandals of his father Nanda on his head. Sometimes Radharani displays her anger and then Krishna bows down to her feet. Sometimes Krishna carries the covered boys on his shoulders in some of the pastimes. So these kind of very intimate loving exchanges Krishna does in Vrindavan, that cannot be expected in Mathura or Dwaraka. So in Dwaraka and Mathura, the sweetness is restricted or reduced, or it is choked, we can say, because Krishna is in a kingly mode there. Nobody can deal with him so intimately. So Vrijabasis were not able to experience Vrindavan outside Vrindavan. When they wanted to go to Mathura, then they better felt that, okay, we will be in Vrindavan, let Krishna come here. Because his mood in Vrindavan is different, his mood in Mathura and Dwaraka is different. That's the first reason. The second reason is, the Vrijabasis had very simple and complete faith in Krishna. And Krishna had told them, when he was boarding the chariot of Akrura and going to Mathura, he told them, surely I will come back, don't worry. You all be patient. There are a few demons to be killed, I will kill them and I will come back. He said, because he gave that word, Vrijabasis had faith in him. So every day morning they would be waiting, and then they would be cooking all kinds of foods and making nice garlands, making nice dresses for Krishna, hoping that he will come that day, and he wouldn't come. And that night they all would cry loudly and then they would go to sleep. Next day morning they would get up, go to Nanda Bhavan and offer obeisances to Yashoda and Nanda and wait for Krishna. So every day their main business was to prepare the things and wait for Krishna, hoping against hope. It's called as Asha Bandha. Asha Bandha means hope against hope. Rupa Goswami says that. And this is the second reason, because they thought that somehow Krishna will come here. They were thinking. Thirdly, it is said that when they would go to the green pastures and the neighborhood towns and villages and Govardhan, Yamuna, when they would go to all these places, immediately those pastimes which Krishna performed there would come to their minds. Immediately. They could, you know, they could hear the flute sound of Krishna. They could hear the laughter of Krishna. They could hear the speech of Krishna. The pastimes that Krishna performed in those places, they were so surcharged in those places that again and again the Vajavasis became stunned in ecstatic love by going to those spots. And because they became attached to those spots, they could not leave Vrindavan. They remained there. Only they felt, here we are able to experience Krishna even more than outside Vrindavan. If you go to Mathura Dwaraka, you can't see it. Just like they saw him in Kurukshetra, with the rattling chariots, and the horses making sounds, elephants making sounds, hundreds and thousands of warriors, Krishna wearing kavach and carrying weapons and wearing a mukut and everything. They asked him, what kind of person are you? You know, where is the beauty of Vrindavan? Where is Yamuna Nadi flowing? Where is the Kadamba forest? Where are the bumblebees who make beautiful sounds? Where are the flowers? Where are the fruits? Where are the trees? Where are the cows? Vrindavan, we don't experience Vrindavan with you in this Kurukshetra. Come back to Vrindavan, they were telling him. So, the fond memories of Krishna's pastimes that happened in those various places in Vrindavan, they would actually observe the footprints of Krishna also in many places. So, they were so madly intoxicated, they could not leave that place because Krishna was Vrindavan for them. They couldn't leave. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Moramana Vrindavan. Said, my heart is Vrindavan. So, Radharani's heart is in Vrindavan. So, Vijayavasis are all followers of Radharani. So, their heart is also in Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan is a place where Krishna displayed his supreme sweetness. He is called as emperor of sweetness. So, this is the third reason. Fourth reason, Narada and Uddhava would come to Vrindavan and tell them kathas about Krishna, leelas of Krishna. And they would also give them hope. Even Balaram came once. Balaram, Uddhava, Narada would come and speak pastimes of Krishna and tell them, they would give them reassurance. I heard another pastime that Balaram had told the Vijayavasis that don't worry, Krishna has promised me within a short time, a few months he will come back. And then he came back to Dwaraka and told Krishna, I have conveyed your message to Vijayavasis. Krishna was very happy. And then why a few years passed, still he was not going. And then Krishna asked Balaram, can you once again visit Vrindavan? Balaram said, hey, come on, they will, if I go and tell them you are going to come again, I will get a good beating. Isn't it? From the Vijayavasis, they will say that, hey, last time you came and said you will bring Krishna, now you have come alone again, you have cheated us like this. They will be angry with me. My dear brother, I cannot go because I myself cannot believe your words. As Balaram said. And then he said, you look for some other volunteer who will go to Vrindavan and, you know. And then Subhadra came forward. She said, see, one thing is I have not yet gone to Vrindavan to tell Vijayavasis that Krishna will come. So this is my first visit, so they may not mind. So I will go first, she said. And Balaram said, okay, if you are going, I also have a little desire to come to Vrindavan and see the Vijayavasis and all the places where we lived before. So you go first and I will come second. And then hopefully Krishna will come third. That is why if you see in the Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ratayatra, you have seen how the Ratayatra goes. Which is the first Rath? Subhadra. Second Rath? Third Rath? That's the reason. That's the reason they go like this. First is Subhadra. Yeah? Balram? I can put my leg. Balram starts first. And Subhadra's? Okay. Actually, this pastime I heard from, I'll tell you who, you can ask him, reference. No, I heard it from Sankarshan Nithai Prabhu. He read in a book in Jagannath Puri, one of the books he was selling. So he was telling Subhadra goes first, Balaram goes behind, Jagannath doesn't go. They only go both. That is another visit to Vrindavan to convince the Vijayavasis that Krishna will surely come, don't worry. And then they come back. So, in this way, Vajabhasis actually were getting some solace by meeting Narada, Uddhava, Balaram, Subhadra, hearing from different people. Only Krishna was not going. Actually, Krishna wasn't going for another reason, as he said. He wanted to increase the love of the Vajabhasis for him. So, he didn't go. So, this is the fourth reason. The fifth reason, you may ask, did Vajabhasis really love Krishna? You say that they love Krishna so much. Often we find in the material world, if a husband dies, sometimes the wife dies within the next 2-3 months. You have seen that? in this world. Or if a wife dies, husband feels so much separation that within 1 year he also goes away. And people often say, you know, he was feeling too much separation. That's why he couldn't survive. Again and again he remembers, if he lives in the same house, you know, they remember, this is the place she used to sit and eat. This is the place she used to cook. She was doing this. Some people even change the house also. They don't stay in the same house because they start to, every day they weep in the morning, afternoon, evening, remembering the places. So if human beings feel such intense love and fondness and separation from other temporary relationships, how much the Vrajavasis must have felt a deep connection to Krishna. How could they maintain their lives despite Krishna not present there in Vrindavan? Somebody may have this question, isn't it? If they didn't give up their life, probably they didn't love Krishna sufficiently. One may think like that. But the explanation is given. Why Vrajavasis maintained their lives? They were about to lose their lives. But then they became very fearful that if we die, and the news goes to Krishna wherever he is, in Mathura or Dwaraka, he will feel such a deep pain that my dear devotees have died. And we don't want to cause him that pain, so we will maintain our life. So they maintain their life. Not to cause any suffering to Krishna. In this way, Vrajavasis maintained their lives and stayed in Vrindavan. Although Krishna had gone out of Vrindavan, praying, you know, very much intensely, longing to attain him again. And in this way, they were experiencing the presence of Krishna every day. Whether they were in the field, whether they were milking the cows, whether they were boiling the milk, whether they were tending to the needs of children, whether they were doing the household duties, activities, they may be laborious activities. All those activities they did. But they could not pass one moment without remembering Krishna. That was the situation. Krishna occupied their heart and minds and their lives and their talks and their activities and their very soul, their very existence. Krishna became an integral part of their being. They became Krishna Maya. Just like about Radharani, we say, no? Devi Krishnamayi Prokta Radhika Paradevata. Devi Krishnamayi Prokta. Krishnamayi means she became Krishnamayi. Krishnamayi means completely like a sponge soaked in water becomes, you know, completely soaked with water. Like that, they became absorbed in the remembrance of Krishna. So, how can we follow in the footsteps of Vrajavasis? Prabhupada says this is actual samadhi for a devotee. A devotee doesn't have to go to Himalayas. A devotee doesn't have to stand upside down and do some very complex yogic mudras. A devotee doesn't have to plug his nose and do all those complicated things. Then how can we attain this type of samadhi, what the Vrajavasis had attained? The clue we get it in this verse itself. So I spoke at two levels. One at the level of Akrura, offering prayers to Krishna as the Supreme Lord and declaring his own personal deficiencies and disqualifications and grateful for Krishna Darshanam. That's the first part we spoke. And second part we spoke about the Vrajavasis' love for Krishna. So Vrajavasis' love for Krishna is very spontaneous and very advanced, and nobody should dare imitate it. But we can follow in the footsteps of Akrura by looking at one's disqualifications and glorifying Krishna. Just like Brahma also offers prayers. Aho atidanya brajagora manya stanya mritam pita ati vate muda. He's telling, aho is an exclamation. Atidanya means how most fortunate is Mother Yashoda, you know, who could breastfeed milk to Krishna, and which living entity can have that kind of good fortune. So this is one thing we can do, like Brahma, admire the spiritual personalities. Then gradually, tat anuragi jana anugami kalam nayeda kilamityupadesha saram. We can do that. Anuragi jana anugami means we have to admire Yashoda. We have to admire Nanda Baba. Like he says in that, what is that word? Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam, nanda gopa vrajav kasam, yan mitram paramanandam, purna brahma sanatanam. That's what the Brahmaji is telling. Just see the good fortune of Nanda Baba and other covered men. The Supreme Brahman Krishna is playing in their courtyard like a small child on the laps on their courtyard. So they are admiring Nanda Baba. And he is admiring all the Vrajavasis also. He's telling about there are in the same series Brahma, after glorifying Yashoda, Nanda Baba and Vrajavasis, is telling, oh my dear Lord Krishna, I beg you to give me a birth in Vrindavan, anywhere in Vrindavan, he says. Vrindavan or Barsana or Nandagama, anywhere. He gave me birth where all the Vijayavasis will put their dust on my head. Let me become a mountain or let me become some sand particles or whatever I may become. But let them put their foot on my head. So I may also get a small drop of their devotion to Krishna, devotion to you, like that. And then Krishna bestowed him with the blessing of becoming a mountain in Barsana. That is the Mangad, Vangad, Vilasgad and Dangad. The four gad are the four heads of Brahma, on which all the gopis of Barsana are climbing up, climbing down on the heads. So all the wonderful leelas took place in these four mountains for the pleasure of, you can imagine if your head becomes a leela sthali for Krishna. Can you imagine Krishna and the covered boys and covered girls, how wonderful it will be. That's what Brahma was. Brahma was very jolly. You know, pastimes were going on over his head in Barsana. That's what he wanted. He wanted the dust particles of all the devotees. So Krishna offered the benediction. This is a wonderful prayer. Like Uddhava prayed, Brahma prayed, Akrura prayed. So we can long for, such kind of love for Krishna. On one hand, we should develop aspiration and ambition to become like them. On the other hand, we should feel shy and uneasy to put ourselves on that role, to want to be spontaneous devotees and be able to take a look at our deficiencies and disqualifications, exactly like Akrura did. This is the exact mood of a Gaudiya Vaishnava. A Gaudiya Vaishnava means one cultivates feelings of longing and feelings of separation from Krishna and eagerness to render some service to Krishna from a distance and also nearby. At the same time, one considers oneself very unqualified, not fit to enter these pastimes. So, just like many acharyas have prayed, my dear Lord, I am like a buffoon. You know buffoon? Buffoon, what is it? Clown. Like a joker or a clown. But I have a great eagerness to catch the moon. How foolish I am. How can a small clown catch dwarf? How can a small dwarf capture a moon? Not possible. But I am yet greedy for capturing that moon. Similarly, a devotee can long for attaining the association of Krishna and his devotees. But this kind of mood exhibited by Akrura is very exemplary. Akrura or Brahmaji or Rupa Goswami and all these personalities, they show us the path. How should we cultivate these feelings in an appropriate mood? And here Prabhupada in this purport is talking about the glories of the Vijayavasis. One should discharge one's duty on Lord Krishna's behalf and all one's actions will be saturated with Krishna thought, the highest pattern of trance in spiritual realization. Many times people ask, Prabhuji, it's so difficult for me to remember Krishna. What to speak of remembering Krishna? I don't develop any fondness for Krishna. I don't feel any love for Krishna. I'm not even attracted to his pastimes in Vrindavan. Why my heart is so dry like a desert? Or dry like a stone? Why the heart doesn't melt upon hearing these wonderful pastimes of Krishna? If we feel like that, that means we haven't accumulated sufficient spiritual credits. What Sukadeva Goswami is saying in Bhagavatam, he says, Kratapunya Punjaha. Kratapunya Punjaha means we should have accumulated crores and crores and crores of spiritual credits, after which that love for Krishna will spring in our heart. For that, one should be prepared to do those credits. So what do we do every day? Morning, we rise in the morning, we are coming in front of the deities, chanting, dancing, hearing Krishna Katha. So these are all the appropriate activities to increase that punya, spiritual punya. So every day we are investing and it is going on increasing. And it's only a matter of time that attraction for Krishna will develop. Occasionally, a devotee may feel a great attraction to Krishna, or a great taste in the kirtana, or a great taste in the katha, or transcendental madness. One may feel that occasionally, time to time. But that is a clue that such a transcendental madness exists in its purity and in its supremacy in the spiritual world. And that is a clue to us. If we didn't get that small drop of that mercy in that way, probably we won't be sitting here today. Surely Krishna is bestowing upon us such a kind of mercy when we simply live in the company of devotees and do the activities. Prabhupada also said, meditating on the mission of Krishna means meditating on Krishna. Which means if you are practicing and propagating Krishna consciousness with a one-pointed attention, without doing sense gratification, keeping the goal clear in the mind, then a devotee is also meditating on Krishna. And gradually that will transform into personal love for Krishna. Granthaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much.